Thank you, Donghui, and the worship team. The Lord be with you. You guys can see that I caught something like over the weekend. I'm not like you hear this nasal sound, you know, over the sermon. Just bear with me. I hope that I don't pass it to you guys, but I think I can still preach. But it's great to be back, and it's great to share God's word to a group of people that I know who are passionate for His, for Him and for His kingdom. And for those who don't know, today is actually the second Sunday after Easter. According to the church calendar, we're actually in the season of Easter. The season of Easter. And some of you may wonder, like, well, what are you talking about? Well, I thought we just finished Easter, right? Well, according to the church calendar, Easter is really just a beginning as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And for your information, the season of Easter begins right on Easter Sunday. And it starts on Easter Sunday, and then it will last for 50 days until the day of the Pentecost. So that's the church calendar. And the reason why I'm introducing these church traditions and calendars to you guys is so that we can always be reminded of this big gospel story that changed us and transformed us. So right now we're in the season of Easter, and before that we're in the season of Lent. And then after we get to the Pentecost, we're in the season of Pentecost and all that. Okay? All right, so having said all that, let us now turn to our passage for today. As we continue our series on the letter to the Ephesians, I want to encourage you to open your Bible right now with me, or you can simply read it through the bulletin, but still, I think it's better if you have your own Bible, all right? And before we read the passage, just to do a little recap, if you remember, starting from chapter 4 of, of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul has been speaking about how the church is made out of one body, and that how God has gifted the church with many gifts. And then he goes on to say that these gifts are to be used. And if you remember, the gifts are to be used and to be exercised so that believers may grow up into maturity. You guys remember that? Don't be a baby. I mean, that was the previous sermon that I preached. So with that in mind, let us now turn to Ephesians 4, and we'll read from verse 17 to verse 24 together. Verse 17 to verse 24. So I tell you this, let's read it together. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The word of the Lord. Well, let us begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we freely come before you today because of what you have done in our lives. Thank you so much. And now that as we continue to come before your living word, the word that brings truth into our souls, we ask that you will show us how to live so that we might glorify your name and become a blessing to many people. Let us never walk away from this place without being moved or challenged from the scriptures. Give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see the truth that you have in store for us today through the message. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you see the sermon outline inside your bulletin, you'll see that I entitled today's message, Change Your Clothes. You see that? Change Your Clothes. And we all know that when it comes to clothing, we all live in a very fashion-conscious society today. And people have always been very passionate and very excited about fashion in general, but even more so in today's world. And we walk into any grocery store, and we find ourselves being overwhelmed, with all the, fashion magazines on the newsstands, like Glamour, like People, like Elle, or Vogue, if that's how you pronounce that word, Vogue. And the funny thing is, whenever I flip through those magazines, and yes, I do read them sometimes, all right? Whenever I flip through those magazines, they will always have this section of the before and the after photos. You guys know what I'm talking about? The before of what the celebrities will wear, and the after, you know, what, the kind of new style or new fashion they will follow. And the whole point of showing those photos is that not only do they show you what is the latest fashion out there, but also these photos, they give you this kind of feeling, this kind of sense that if you were to wear them, you will become, you know, you will become this new person. You will become this new self. It's sort of, you know, it's sort of like this fashion makeover, so to speak, of which you can begin to feel different from the inside, from the, you know, from this outward new fashion that you wear. And people around you, whether it's your friends or your colleagues or your loved ones, they will then see you in a different perspective. At least that's how I see it, you know, the before and the after photos in those fashion magazines. But of course, once the fashion style changes, then one would need to buy and wear new stuff in order to keep up with the trend, in order to feel this newness inside of them. Well, the passage that we just read today is also about fashion or clothes as well. The one that we just read from Paul's writing. But it's not so much about the clothes that we put on our physical body, but instead it's about this clothes that we wear inside of us. It is much deeper, and it is often unseen. It is the clothes that we wear on our hearts. You see, in our passage today, Paul appeals to the fact that those who are in Christ, they actually wear new clothes. They wear new clothes. And in order to help us to appreciate, you know, what that means, Paul also gives us this before and the after photos. All right? The before and the after photos. Now, before we compare these two photos that Paul paints for us in detail, we need to first understand the backgrounds of the Ephesian church. And I probably have mentioned this to you guys before, but if you remember, the city of Ephesus was characterized by pagan worship in the first century. It was characterized by pagan worship in the first century. And at the city center, it stood this temple called the Temple of Artemis, or Temple of Diana, which was one of the seven wonders in the ancient world. And on any given day, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of prostitutes and slaves working full-time around that temple. So this tells us that people in those days, they could indulge in any kind of pleasures they want. Sexual immorality, debauchery, unethical practices, they were all normal in those people's lives. Moreover, historians tell us that abortion was commonly practiced in those days, where people would abandon their babies out of convenience, or out of failed expectations, you know, because they want a boy, but it turns out to be a girl. And for those who are allowed to live, they will be raised as slaves and prostitutes. And we know that most of the believers in Ephesus, the people whom wrote Paul the letter to the Ephesians to, they used to be pagans as well. And perhaps some of them were still living in such ways that even after they accepted Christ. So here's Paul, he says to them, hey guys, don't live like that anymore. Don't indulge in those practices. Since you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, you are to forsake those practices. Not because of what I said, not because of what I think is right, but because God demands that once you're in Him, you are to live differently from the rest of the world. You are to change your clothes. You are to put off the old garment and put on this new clothes that's in Christ. So that's the main point of what Paul is saying in the passage that we just read. All right, you guys following me so far? Now, let us look at the before and the after photos in detail. Starting from verse 17, let's look at the old clothes first. Starting from verse 17, Paul shows us what that old clothes look like. So please follow along with me as I read again from verse 17 to verse 19, where he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, in this picture, it's not a very pleasant picture, right? The before photo is actually pretty ugly. Now, if you notice, there are four characteristics or four features that Paul used to describe this old clothes. And you can follow along with me in the bulletin. I think I give you guys some blanks for you to fill out, right? So four blanks or four characteristics of the old clothing. Here's the first one, and that is they live in the futility of the thinking. If you have a pen or pencil, write that down. They live in the futility of the thinking. Do you see that in verse 17? That you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of the thinking. So mark that. Write that down. Or underline that phrase. The futility of the thinking. Now, the word futility, do you guys know what that word means? The word futility means emptiness or uselessness. In other words, Paul says, those who are without God, their minds are empty and ineffective and useless. That's what Paul is saying here. And this is very important because the way we think directly affects the way we live our lives. But a lot of times people don't think of it that way. People think that they live out of their feelings and out of their experiences. But that's not really true. You see, our behavior, listen to this, our behavior is primarily determined by the way we think, not by the way we feel. We steal, not because we feel like stealing, but somehow we think it's okay to take something that doesn't belong to us. We lie, not because we feel like lying, but because somehow we think we can cover the truth and get away from the consequences. We put people down, not because we feel like doing it, or not because we feel like we want to be a bully, but because in our minds we think we're actually superior than other people. So that's why when it comes to repentance, the first step is always to change the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about our spiritual condition, or the way we think about God. So that's the first characteristic in this picture, the futility of the thinking. Now, alongside with the futility of the thinking of their minds, this is a second characteristic, and that is ungodly people are ignorant of God's truth. They're ignorant of God's truth. That's the second blank I put down for you guys. Now look at verse 18 with me again. It says, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You guys see that? And let's think about this a little bit. Of all the non-believers whom you interact with on a regular basis, I mean, just think, how many of them are actually interested in spiritual things or in the things of God? I bet that not many of them do think like that, right? And why is it like that? Why don't they think about the spiritual things? Well, the reason why is because unless God has turned the lights in their hearts, most of them are not interested when it comes to the matters of spiritual things, or let alone the things of God. They just don't think about those things. And that is not to say, now listen to me, that is not to say that our non-Christian friends are unintelligent or that they're stupid or anything like that. But the fact that they don't contemplate on the spiritual things is simply because they're ignorant of God's truth. That's not why I say that's what Paul says. All right? So that's the second characteristic we need to know about this former way of life. Here comes the third, and that is their hearts are hardened. Their hearts are hardened. Look at the end of verse 18 and verse 19 with me, where it says, due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. You guys see that? Now, another word to describe what Paul is saying here is the word callousness. You guys know what that word means? Callous? You know, the stiffening or the thickening of skin. And for those who plays guitar or any string instruments here, in this room. Okay, I see a guitar player. I mean, some people do, right? So you guys can relate to what I'm talking about when I use this word callous. Remember how when you first pick up the instrument and when you press your fingers against the strings, remember how that felt? It was painful. It was difficult to play, right? It was painful because your skins were not used to this pressure that you press against the strings. But eventually, the skins will begin to form this hardened core, or this hardened, like, thick skin. And then after that, you just don't feel anything anymore. And that's the kind of picture that Paul is describing to us is describing those who deliberately turn themselves away from God. And this is what happens if they continue to reject God and His truth, that their hearts will begin to grow even more stiff, even more hardened towards spiritual things. They will begin to lose any sort of emotions or feelings for other people. And then eventually, they will reject all forms of goodness and beauty and God altogether. And such spiritual condition doesn't happen overnight. It happens through a gradual process. You know anybody like that in your life? Now, once a person has lost all his feelings and all his sensitivity towards the things of God and has lost feelings towards people, guess what happens? That's the next thing and the last thing. And that is all of these things will lead the person to sexual immorality. That's a fourth characteristic. Everything will lead to sexual immorality. You see, the futility of the mind, the ignorance of God's truth, the hardening of the hearts, all these will lead to what Paul describes in verse 19. Look at verse 19 with me, where it says, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, when Paul uses this word sensuality, it refers to a letting go of any kind of responsibilities. It refers to, you know, there's no more restraint. And this could mean anything, but in this particular case, it means sex. In other words, Paul is saying that once a person has reached to this point, sexual lust becomes the primary expression of that person's heart. Now, I don't need to remind you guys again just how messed up we are in this particular area as a society and as individuals. It is no doubt that we live in a supercharged sexual society in which we're constantly bombarded with lust everywhere we go. And not only that, on daily news, you know, we see and we hear how people hurt and exploit people and each other sexually. And we're like, why would people do something like that? But then, at the same time, we see more and more people become addicted to internet pornography, while its content becomes even more explicit and grotesque. You know, there was a game that out there that, it was a game, like on CNN News, it was a game that was designed to help guys how to rape women. A game, a computer game, that's made in Japan. It's crazy. I was looking at that, I was like, what is this thing? Sexual immorality. And how do people end up like that? Well, one thing I know is that it did not happen overnight. It's a gradual process of rejecting God and His truth. Now, please understand one thing of all the things I've said this far, that I am not suggesting that all non-believers live and act like this, okay? For there are a lot of non-Christian friends that I know of who are morally upright and sound citizens. But still, the picture is dark and dreary. The before photo is dark and dim. It is the picture of someone who consistently rejects God and His truth. It is the picture of some of the Ephesian Christians' former way of life. And it is a picture of many in the world today. And it is a picture that some of us can still relate to. But that is the before photo. Let us now look at the after photo, shall we? Starting from verse 20, Paul puts it this way. He says, you, and let me just stop right there. You guys right here. You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, clearly in these verses, Paul is describing someone who has met and experienced Christ. Someone who is following Jesus closely. And there are two characteristics I want to point out here from this picture as compared to the four that we saw previously. All right? Two characteristics. Here's the first one. The first characteristic of those who are in Christ, and that is they have the mind of Christ. They have the mind of Christ. As opposed to the mind of futility and emptiness of those who are without God. They have the mind of Christ. Listen to verse 20 and 21 again. It says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ." In other words, what Paul is saying here, saying to the Ephesians and to us, is that, hey guys, the ungodly way of life, that's not how you learned about Christ. When you become a Christian, you are schooled and educated by Christ. He is a subject, and He's also the teacher of the subject at the same time. This historical Jesus, this Jesus we found in the Scriptures, is the means by which our mind can be transformed. The person who is schooled by Christ, who learns Christ, who thinks like Christ, is someone who submits himself to the standards in which He lived and taught. Wow, that's a lot of Christ that I just said. But if you can summarize what Paul just said, there's two words. The two words that Paul is trying to say to you and to me is learn Christ. Learn Christ. Learn about this man called Jesus. Not learn more about principles, not learn more about things about Jesus, but learn Him. Study Him. Not trying to follow more commands or rules, but study this man called Jesus. You see, the Christian maturity is all about learning Jesus and finding truth in Christ. And so many Christians have missed that. They thought being a Christian is about learning more, like memorizing more scriptures, trying to follow more rules, trying to not do this and do that. But ultimately, it's about learning Jesus, being close to Him. Now, here comes the next question. How do you learn a person? Have you guys ever wondered about that? How do you learn a person? I mean, we can learn math as our subject. We can learn biology. We can learn physics, right? We can learn any of those academic subjects. We can memorize facts. But how do you actually learn a person? Is it just a matter of knowing more facts and figures? Now, for example, if I know your height, or your weight, and your birthday, and your address, and your phone number, and your social security number. Do I really know you? I do not. I don't know you. Let me give you another example. When I first applied the ministry position here at SFCC back in 06, like all good candidates would do, I sent in my resume first. Now, was my resume, with all the things I ever done, all the education, you know, criteria, was my resume alone enough for the pastoral search committee to determine whether I was a right fit for this church or not? Of course not. They had to set up an interview with me. I had to come over and meet them, and meet you guys, and for you guys to know me, right? So in the same way, we learn Christ not just knowing facts about Jesus, but to spend time with Him, to converse with Him, to listen to His words and to His stories, to watch the way He lives His lives, to watch the way He interacts with people. That's how we learn a person. And when we do that, we will begin to think like Him, having His mind, and as a result, we will eventually learn to live like Him. Remember how our thinking affects the way we live our lives? Christian maturity always begins by being close and by being learning Christ. That's what Christian maturity is about. So that's the very first characteristic of this new close I want you guys to see. Here comes the second, and we're coming to a close. And that is, those who are in Christ, they have thrown away their old clothes, and they have put on the new. They have thrown away their old clothes, they have put on the new. Look with me for the last part of this, you know, the passage from verse 22 to 24, where Paul says it this way. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self." You guys see that? To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, to put on this new clothes, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So those who are in Christ, they have thrown away their old clothes, and they have put on the new. Now, yesterday, Saturday, from 8 o'clock, actually we left the house at 8 o'clock. Anyways, some people from men's Bible studies, and from Timothy Fellowship. They sign up with this, you know, Christian organization called Habitat for Humanity International, where volunteers are to build simple and affordable housings for those who are in, you know, low income. So we were there. So there were eight of us, I think. So we were there by 8:45 in the morning until late in the afternoon. And of course, some of us had to come back to this, you know, World Vision thing yesterday, right? But anyways, after I went home, I was like, gosh, I stink. I smell from all the sweat that I worked up, you know, like this morning. And I need to take a shower, and which I did. And we all know that nothing feels better after a hot, you know, steamy shower, you know, after a day like that. So what I did, I turned the tub, you know, I had this really, really nice bath. And after the bath, you know, I took shampoo, I washed my body with a hot shower. And after I came out, I was like, oh, this is so refreshing. This feels so good, everything. Now, it would be pretty gross, if not downright stupid, if I were to put on my old underwear and my pants, would it? It's not the natural thing to do. Why would I do that? Well, in the same way, for those who have met and experienced Christ, Paul is saying to us, those clothes that you used to do, those kind of life that you used to wear, they stink. They're filthy. Why would you want to put that back in your body, in your new life anymore? He's saying, people, you guys have been made clean and holy in Christ. There's no need to wear those old clothes anymore. They smell, they stink, and they're filthy. Instead, put on this new clothes. Put on the new clothes. Now, having said that, I know one of the chief problems that we as Christians often face and struggle is that somehow in our own futility of our mind, we always end up going back to our former way of life. We always want to put on this old dirty underwear or undershirt. But Paul says, no, don't do that anymore. Don't admire the way people live in this world. They live in darkness. They live in emptiness. And if they had completely rejected God and His ways, most of them have already given themselves to sexual immorality and impurity of every kind. That's not the way you have come to know Christ. Don't copy and follow the way they live their lives. Take up that kind of behavior as if you were with your old clothes. That's what Paul is saying to you and to me. Now, as we close our message for today, and as we apply to ourselves, you know, this message to ourselves, what will your response be with a message like this? I know that some of you may have been struggling with low self-image. Well, take that off. That's not you anymore. Christ has given you a new image. I know some of you are currently dealing with some kind of sin or addiction in your life. Well, that's not the way you come to know Christ. Put it off and put on this new clothes that's in Christ, for you can have power to overcome whatever sin that you're dealing with. I know some of you have the tendency to put people down, to judge people, either in your hearts or verbally, or even to ignore those whom you find annoying. Well, stop doing that anymore. That's not the way of Christ. Throw away those old clothes and put on this new clothes of patience, of compassion, and acceptance with people. When hearing God's call to change our old way of life and put on this new clothes, some of us might be like, might think like this. Well, that is too hard. I can't do that. That's impossible. Well, that's right. It is not possible. We can never do this unless we first come to realize that without God, we are utterly lost and helpless. But when we come with such attitude, when we come lifting our hands, when we come surrendering our hearts to Jesus, then somehow we will find a strength that is made perfect in weakness. Amen? Would you close your eyes and pray with me? Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Your word that is filled with promise, that is filled with life and truth. that shines in the very darkness of our souls, your word stands still in our lives. We thank you for your word today. Lord, give us the strength to put off the old clothes that we wear and to put on this new clothes that we have found in you. Give us the strength to see you always, to learn about you, and to follow you with our hearts. Lord, we are just so utterly helpless and lost when we are without you. But in you, we have everything. Help us to see that, not just with our ears, but see that deep from our souls, that in Christ we can do all things. And as the music starts to play, I want to invite you to continue just to pray to God. Not just to, you know, not just finish praying after I pray this prayer, but continue to pray to God. Some of you need to make a confession to God today. Some of you need to come before God and say, God, I just can't do this. But I know you can. Your word says that I am made new in you. I claim those promises. Some of you need to say that today. And some of you need to come before God and say, God, I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to change the way I live my life. I want my mind to be changed. I want you to help me to throw away certain behaviors that I do in my life. Some of you have to pray this prayer today. And some of you, you know, you might be struggling with anger, that you find it hard to forgive. And here's Paul's words through God saying to you, that's not how you come to know Christ. Throw that off. Throw that away. And wear the new clothes of forgiveness. So no matter what God today, I want you guys to spend some time talking to him before you come up and lead us into the song. But just pray and converse with God. Learn Christ. Him. Talk to him. And watch the way he interacts. Tell him the things that make you. What you're struggling with.